This is Tax at the Speed of Tech, a podcast from BDO's Tax Practice. Each episode, we'll connect with inspiring thought leaders to get their take on pressing issues in tax and technology innovation, impactful trends, as well as their predictions for the future.
Data. You've probably got some of it. Chances are you're either shoving it shamefully into a closet or under a bed while it spills out of dressers and overflows from unlatchable steamer trunks. Or maybe you've wrangled your data to the point that you're proud of your metaphorical room, tidy and neat, where you can easily find what you're looking for. If it's the latter, you've probably employed some sophisticated technology to get there. If it wasn't technology that got you there, I dare you to open your closet door. Which brings me to today's guest. Alteryx, the analytics automation company, enables enterprises everywhere to democratize data analytics across their organizations for a broad range of use cases. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Paula Hansen, President and Chief Revenue Officer at Alteryx, about her role and perspective in an exciting company at a fascinating time. Paula, welcome to the podcast.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much, Chris.
Now, I'd like to start by understanding a bit of your journey. I see you started in sales and you worked your way up to VP of sales before becoming a Chief Revenue Officer. Now, I happen to have married a career SaaS salesperson and spent some time in pre-sales engineering myself, so I have an appreciation for that world. And many of the folks listening to the podcast right now are tax practitioners. And similar to sales, many folks enjoy the thrill of the hunt and revel in their competency for the task at hand, while some, of course, aspire to break through to leadership roles as you have. Did you always know that that was your path, and what inspired you along the way?
Well, first of all, you made a great selection in your spouse to marry a SaaS career salesperson. So, my journey's been really interesting. I think I've always had a love of math and science from my very early childhood school experiences, and that led me to go pursue a degree in electrical engineering when I was in college. I did a summer internship between my junior and senior year at a power plant. And I think it was that moment when I realized maybe being a hands-on engineer is not exactly my calling. I could acknowledge that I had a curiosity about how things work, how technology works. I was very curious about what technology enables, more than I was curious about how technology actually works. That's what made me realize, okay, maybe there's this technology sales path that I can follow where I can continue to feed my curiosity about what technology enables and how technology can help solve real business challenges. So long story short, that's how I landed in technology sales. I've had a lot of different roles over my many years as sales engineer, leading sales teams at various levels of sales leadership, and now currently as a chief revenue officer. And I haven't looked back over that journey. It's served me really, really well. And leadership's just a passion for me. I think at the end of the day, leadership's about getting the best out of people, orchestrating outcomes through a team of people. And I've really enjoyed being able to do that and seeing what we can make possible with and through people and technology.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have any advice for folks who are looking to make that breakthrough, that jump to leadership?
Go for it. That's all I can say. I think it, the world needs more leaders, and it's incredibly rewarding to be a leader. It's more fun than being a renegade, going alone, being a part of a team. And so go for it.
Great. Well, speaking of looking back on your career, I did just that before today. And I did listen to some of your podcasts that you had done during your time at SAP. And I must say, I was surprised to see so much focus on brand and customer experience. I personally also spent some time in product management, so I'm used to hearing CX, product, marketing talk about experience, but a CRO, why did you feel compelled to go there?
Yeah, well, I have always said customers are my true north. You know, in a revenue role, you've got to be thinking about your customers every day, all day. And so I've always had a passion for what it takes to make customers happy and ultimately what it takes to help them to deliver transformational results. I tell anybody in any role in any company, if you're having a good day, you should go talk to a customer. If you're having a bad day, you should go talk to a customer, because I think when you talk with customers and you listen to them more importantly, you will hear them explain to you what's valuable about your product or your service. And they'll usually explain it to you in terms of the experiences that they have with your product and service. You know, what does it feel like? What does it enable? How does it change their work? How does it change their life? All of that is a comment about experience. And so whether you are providing a product or service, I'm convinced that you need to be thinking about the experience that your customer has with that. And the more you understand that, ultimately, the more successful that you will be. And I think, you know, even our personal lives make this point very, very clear to us. We're all consumers of tech, right? We all have smartphones and we all have streaming services that we get our content from. We use apps like ride sharing apps and food delivery. Those are all technology. But when we talk about them, we talk about the experience that they provide for us, right? And and that's either what keeps us loyal to those particular products or services, or if the experience isn't so great, it's what sends us looking for an alternative. So I think this is really top of mind for anyone in business, no matter what you do.
Yeah, it reminds me of a tenet from the pragmatic marketing framework, which we followed religiously in product management, which they had a concept called Nihido, which is nothing interesting happens in the office.
Yeah,
you're not going to be inspired. You're not going to learn anything new by just sitting in the office with yourself and your immediate team members.
Yeah, 100%. Go talk to a customer or a potential customer.
Yep. Speaking of experience as well, right? Embracing customer experience holistically is in effect a manifestation of culture. And from what I've seen in the market, the folks that are most successful with their deployments, especially tools like Alteryx, are those supported by a culture of innovation. What do you see as Alteryx's role in the evolution of culture within your clients? And is there an intangible element of CX at play?
Yeah, I love this conversation, Chris, around culture. There's lots of research around this. Certainly a lot of books written about how culture eats strategy for breakfast, right? When it comes to business. And so we're really focused on culture because a lot of the work that we do with companies is around driving transformation or driving change. Mm-hmm. And when you're thinking about, you know, driving change, maybe it's change with adopting a new technology. Maybe it's change when it comes to reimagining how work gets done. Most of those things are a team sport. Most of those things require people to come together to enable that change or that transformation that you're trying to drive. And so all of that for me boils down to culture. And so in our business, because we are in the business of getting more and more people comfortable with data, more and more people using data to drive insights and to make decisions in their work, culture becomes really important. We want to enable a culture of curiosity, a culture of data literacy, a culture of analytics. And we definitely have the technology that enables that because we have a platform that's all about doing that, democratizing data, democratizing analytics in a really easy to use way. But along the way, and supplementing that technology, we want to help our customers foster the culture around that, right? And think about data literacy and think about how you build a team environment where everybody is continually learning, continually upskilling themselves, coming together to work on problems cross-functionally. And so, you know, all of that means that you have to think about what types of activities foster culture, right? And some of the ideas that we have around this is you've got to think about how you train on whatever new thing you're rolling out, whether it's technology or a new transformation of process. How do you, you know, maybe gamify that training? How do you make it fun? Mm-hmm. How do you reward and recognize people who are leaning into the change? How do you, you know, host different activities, like in our business, a hackathon or a datathon that fosters people to help one another and to come on the journey and to embrace the change? Or how do you create a community of people within an organization around this change and this transformation, this technology? So we think all of these things are really critical to building and fostering that culture, which ultimately is so critical in any types of transformation.
Yeah, what's interestingly beautiful about the experience that I've seen with a lot of folks going through Alteryx is how much of that is organic, right? Because when you think about the individual becoming champions themselves, right, it's almost the antithesis of what people think of with digital transformation, where somebody on the top is making a conversation, coming up with a project plan and kind of pushing it down on them, where they are the ones that are really taking ownership and pride in the output.
Oh, so true. Right. You know, the grassroots groundswell kind of dynamic of, you know, the actual users of the technology coming together and helping one another is incredibly powerful and frankly, quite a bit more sticky over the long haul too. Of course, we're big proponents of, you know, executive support and kind of, you know, top-down sponsorship, if you will. But I think it's that plus the groundswell and the, you know, bottoms up sort of team and culture aspect of change that makes things really sticky and sustainable.
Yeah. And earlier you used the word community with a lowercase c. I want to talk about the Alteryx community with a capital C.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So, you know, weekly, if not daily, I see badges being shared on LinkedIn. You know, you go to the front page of your website and you lead with real people who have been solving with Alteryx for, you know, some length of time. It puts a face to the users, to the market. Whenever I think about product success metrics, my mind wanders to the episode of Silicon Valley when they completely misjudged their success by misinterpreting the data. Obviously, it's much different for a startup just getting off the ground, but at Alteryx, how does the activity in the community play into the notion of adoption? You mentioned stickiness a little bit, but yeah. You know, users, logins, data volumes are one thing, but the community speaks to some sort of greater institutionalization, no?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. We are really, really proud of the community, the Alteryx community that's been built over the last couple of decades. These are some of the most fervent, passionate problem solvers on the globe. And, you know, they have come together in a very, you know, inorganic way, now quite a bit more structured as we've sort of taken on their lead, if you will, and orchestrated it a little bit more formally. But, you know, this is a place where people come together to truly help each other and upskill one another and solve big problems. You can post a question on our community right now, and the average response time is right around 30 minutes. And that's, you know, that is a stat that we watch, to your point, of like, what do metrics, what is the data telling you, or what does it imply relative to what adoption might look like for our solution. And so I think of things like response time. I think of how often people are visiting our community. How many questions are they posting? How many questions are they answering? You know, what events are they attending that kind of are launched off of our community? Those are all great metrics, or connecting back to our earlier conversation around culture. If you start to see that more people from a particular organization or company are joining the community, then you can, you know, you can make the correlation that adoption is driving up, that the culture is being built, that the value of community is driving adoption and solving, you know, for that transformation that it's meant to be there for. So There is a lot that we learn from this group of really, brilliant, but passionate and super loyal users. And, personally, I think it's one of our differentiators, and it's what we encourage our clients to put in place, as soon as possible within their own organizations, because, there's a power there. We're a tribal people at the end of the day. And when community comes together, good things can really happen.
Yeah, that's really evident in the challenges when you see people helping other people solve. Or how did you do that with these containers, right? These functions it was different than I would have solved it, and everybody kind of coming together to learn from each other's experiences and perspectives.
Yeah, it's so true. And there's like innovation, exponential innovation happening, right? Mm-hmm. Because to your point, people are, you can solve challenges and problems different ways. And part of the reward is just thinking about how you do it versus how someone else does it and what that means the next time you go to solve a problem or a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of what makes the community so compelling and Alteryx more broadly is the idea of upskilling, right? And I was talking to one of our Alteryx champions, Mike Matias, and he said, and this is a quote, "What I love about Alteryx is it allows tax professionals to continue to be tax professionals while recognizing the benefits of a more advanced technology tool." So thinking about upskilling and the role of acquiring this tool set and the badges and accolades that support it. What does this mean to career mobility and cross-department collaboration, having this universal skill set?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite aspects of what I think, Alteryx and data and analytics more broadly can help, individuals to do from a career development perspective. At the end of the day, we want people to really hone their craft. We want them to be domain experts. We believe that it's much easier to upskill a tax professional to be analytically savvy than it would be to train a data scientist tax code. So, we want to focus on reskilling, upskilling across, across functions within enterprises, and enable those true domain experts, people that have, committed to their craft, to their expertise, and their passion for their particular function in their business, to be the best that they can be. And we know that when we enable them with data, when we help them become analytically savvy, that they will be the best that they can be. And the benefits are for their business, of course, as their employer, but also for themselves, to your point around mobility. So the business impact's pretty obvious, right? That you're going to make better business decisions, you're going to drive efficiency, you're going to be more productive, you're going to be able to tackle more strategic challenges when you leverage the power of something like the Alteryx automation platform. But the benefit for the employee is multiple. First of all, they feel that they are honing their craft. They feel a connection to the purpose of their organization. They can better articulate the value that they generate for their company because it's measurable, it's quantifiable, it's value. And all of those things usually mean that they can, build a platform for themselves to sort of, be more mobile and take on more responsibility and rise to the top of the promotion list. So one of the things that we try to do is capture those stories, those, user stories. And, they're great ones about simple things like work-life balance. How do you get your life back because you're doing things that used to take, hours and weeks and months down to minutes? What does that mean to your personal satisfaction? But then what does it mean to you professionally? Because you're really delivering impact for your organization. And we've got a lot of great promotional stories of people, clearly greater happiness in what they're doing, which leads to them being more likely to stay at a company. So it increases, employee retention, which then feeds back into the benefit for the company. So, mm-hmm. There's multiple layers to upskilling. And, you know, one of the trends that we're seeing right now, which I'm very much watching, is, you know, the tax professionals, the finance professionals of the world, who are obviously steeped in their domain and dealing with large volumes of data, and are you know, embracing the opportunity for analytics and for automation, are demonstrating that they're solving problems, they're driving outcomes for their companies, and a lot of them are being asked to step now into more broader transformation roles that not only serve tax or finance, but serve, you know, other functions of the business, whether it's HR or sales and marketing or operations. And that's been really rewarding to see how that charts a different, you know, career path for a lot of people, and, you know, provides mobility and transformation and business performance all at once.
Yeah, I've definitely witnessed that from my vantage point. You know, one side as a consultant, certainly as our conversation over the years has trended more towards culture and people and upskilling and the importance of those elements on a successful deployment and maximizing the value. But also as an employer, right, where sometimes and more we'll have interviews for folks at a lower level staff mm-hmm. you know, experience that don't have the hands on, but they'll come in saying, listen, you know, yeah, I saw this Alteryx thing was, you know, more and more popular. I went out and took some courses, and, you know, I've been learning it on my own, and I'm working towards a certification. And that, it speaks volumes, right? For someone who doesn't have hands-on experience to be able to kind of put themselves in the running, they've got the drive to go out and figure this out on their own. They have the appetite to learn something new, and they didn't hate it because they're pursuing a job where presumably that's something that they would do day in and day out. So they've already kind of filtered their own resume a few levels at to get to that, to get in the door.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it empowers people. It shifts, it shifts opportunity to people's hands, you know, in a way that they can be a little bit more intentional about the work that they do, the places that they work, you know, the paths that they follow in their career. So it's super inspiring in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to pivot to talk a little bit about the product.
Sure.
With the launch of Alteryx Analytics Cloud Platform and the proliferation of working from anywhere, what has your experience been like joining in the middle of this evolution, right? Because it's a long journey from that desktop-only experience to what it's become and what it's evolving into. And what does that mean for your customers and the future?
Yeah, it's an exciting time right now with the advent of Alteryx Analytics Cloud. I think that most people understand the way that cloud technologies just kind of reduce the barriers to entry in so many ways, right? To your point, hybrid work, people working on a variety of different platforms, wanting to leverage browser access and so forth. You know, is really changing sort of the pace and the volume with which, you know, we can do what we do and get analytics in the hands of more people. So, we love the notion of combining the value of a cloud-based platform with what we're really known for, which is these, you know, low code, no code capabilities, and meeting people wherever they are, whatever skill set they have, in whatever role that they're in whatever function that they're in, to be a part of a data community and an analytics community, and to self-serve themselves with our technology and our platform wherever they are and wherever their data lives, whether the data is in the cloud or on-prem or more likely probably in some type of a hybrid environment. So, we can already tell from what we're doing with our customers that it is bringing more people into the conversation, into the analytic opportunity, and it's, you know, lowering the barriers to entry, and it's increasing the pace we can deliver innovation, because of course cloud release schedules, innovation schedules are really, really quick. So as we develop new features and capabilities, we can get it in the hands of our users much faster than we can say with a desktop product. So, and that innovation is been pretty fast and furious for us over the last 18 months in particular. So with the release of Alteryx Analytics Cloud Platform, we have some really cool new capabilities. One of them is location intelligence capability, which makes it easy for business users, business analysts, regardless of whatever their skill set is, to start to bring location-based insights into their work, which is really, really relevant when you think about a lot of the work that people do to try and understand where their end customers are, mm-hmm. And how to better serve them. And then to bridge the great population of on-prem users that we have, desktop users that we have, we also have now a connected experience that allows users that can create workflows using Alteryx Designer, maybe on their desktop, save that work up to the cloud, our analytics cloud platform, and then that allows them to scale their work, share their work with others who may be accessing through the cloud. And so it just drives this higher level of collaboration across the enterprise, which, of course, when I think of transformation, when I think of business process, it spans across a lot of people and a lot of functions. And so anything that helps with that scale is probably going to accelerate transformation. So we're really excited about the cloud.
Yeah, it's certainly accelerated and it's moving at a pretty fast clip. And I'm not saying that's not enough, but that is a view of kind of inside out where Alteryx is going. There is definitely also the impact of the outside looking in, right? The macro trends and technology that are going on that we can't ignore with the amount of ChatGPT and generative AI and all of these things happening, right? So, what trends and technology are you most curious about, or do you think will have the biggest impact directly or indirectly on the future of Alteryx?
It's as you point out, it is a fascinating time right now with artificial intelligence. That is going to just increase and accelerate the advancements of technology for in all categories, right? To build more intelligent products, more intelligent services. You talked about ChatGPT. That has taken the world by storm for sure. And we think of that in the context of large language models and generative AI tools. And, when you boil all of that fancy tech talk down to, what does it mean? It's a new way to interface, right, with technology and with analytic systems, right? To be able to pose a very simple language type of question and get, a very data-driven, insight-driven answer to that can really change the game. This is directly in line with the mission that we have at Alteryx. And so you're going to see us, with some pretty exciting roadmap announcements here in the coming months and quarters around how we're leveraging generative AI to drive exponentially more people to be able to participate in AI and in analytics and to be the best consumers of insights that they can be and to ultimately help them make better decisions. So I would say buckle up our seatbelts here. I think as a society and certainly as a business community, these innovations are going to be rapid, they're going to be game-changing, and they're going to be highly scalable.
Yeah, the former product manager in me winced a little at the fact that I asked, what else after your very impressive response about everything that Alteryx is doing already. But I think that's just the world we're living in now, that there's, like you said, there's this exponential compounding impact of technology and the pace of technology. And I think it's incredible just to sit and dream of, what would Alteryx look like paired with some of these technologies? Because so many companies these days are just reinventing themselves or propelling to a new level by adding this new layer that you just didn't think was possible. It's really amazing.
Kind of connecting back to the conversation we were having around upscaling and domain expertise that people have. I think a lot of your listeners have at any given time thought of, well, if I could have an app app that did X, or if I could add an app that did Y, you know, wouldn't that be game changing? Mm-hmm. So the easier we can make the development of apps that leverage these capabilities like AI, like generative AI and so forth, the developer and all of us gets unleashed. So I really do think that that's the next wave of all of this as well, which is, you know, making it very, very easy for business experts, business owners, business users to be thinking about what type of application could easily be built on a analytic platform to really change the game for their work, for their end customers. So that's definitely where it's going.
Yeah, I think it'll be funny years from now if somebody tunes into this podcast and thinks, you know, life before generative AI, you know, entrenched in everything I do. What?
Yeah, exactly.
One last question for you, Paula. If you could automate anything in your life, what would it be?
Oh my goodness, the list is probably a mile long. Where do I start? Millions of ideas. Well, I have a funny mantra that I like to say, which is, you know, you should automate everything but love in life, right? So that's one thing that I think the emotions of humans are something that I don't think should be automated, but there's a lot between where we are now and that can be automated. And there's a lot of upside here. I have two teenage boys, and they're very busy and active playing sports in school and their activities. And so I would love someone to automate every logistical aspect of their life, because that would be a huge game changer for me, right? So you think about like automating the carpool system, automating their activity schedule and making it just nicely fit into my schedule, scheduling the doctor's appointments that they need to be at that I forget to do because I'm busy until the school calls and says something's not up to date. You know, all the events that they attend, and I have to figure out if that works with my travel or not. You know, if that could just be automated and life could be harmonized from a logistic standpoint of parenting, I'd be the first to sign up.
Yeah, but then you take a step back and you give them that real human love and you spend that quality time together. Absolutely.
That's really what I want to be doing.
All right. Well, Paula, thank you so much. This was a fantastic conversation. I really appreciate you spending the time with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Chris. Really appreciate the opportunity. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Tax at the Speed of Tech, a BDO podcast. If you like the show, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Head to BDO.com to access resources cited in this episode and learn more about BDO's approach to tax innovation. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, or if you want to discuss your organization's tax technology strategy, send us an email at tax@thespeedoftech@bdo.com.